Today on More to Life, the grace to let go. Struggling to let go of past hurts? Let us help you discover the path toward forgiveness, healing, and freedom. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the grace to let go. It can be difficult to leave those past hurts in the past. We tend to carry them with us, and that's not something to criticize ourselves for. It's a sign that healing needs to occur and that God is wanting to work in our hearts to bring about that healing, certainly in ourselves, possibly in the relationship as well. But let's talk about it. Are you having a hard time letting go of past hurts? Let us help you discover the path toward forgiveness, healing, and freedom. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, just using the term, just let it go, is really encompassing of how badly a lot of us are treated when we try to address a hurt, right? When we think, I'm holding on to this hurt to protect myself, or until I can work this out with somebody, and they're just like, this was years ago, or this was fill in the blank, would you just let it go already? And yet there's no working on
well,
it.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. You know, letting it go, or even like the show today talks about, finding the grace to let it go, doesn't mean pretending that it doesn't hurt or that it was wrong. Pretending that it wasn't wrong. The idea of letting it go in the sense that we're talking about, in the sense that I believe that God wants us to let things go, is not to pretend and is not to try to force some illusion of healing, but rather to bring the pain to Him so that He can show us how to move through it, take whatever lessons we can from it, heal the wounds that come with it, and ideally, you know, find the freedom that He's leading us to.
Which is very different than most of us get when we hear somebody tell us, oh, just let it go already. Which really usually means, just let me off the hook without me doing anything about it. Or, just stop telling everybody about it because we're just sick of hearing it, and just go off with your pain and don't bother us. Which is really, really unjust, and just leaves us in darkness instead of God's light. And I know that, you know, in my personal life, like, I have dealt with, in coming from the family I came with, there was a lot of hurts in my life, but I've been able to deal with that even when somebody's no longer in my life, because I can look at certain things and, you know, kind of do the math and do the work myself. But I know that I had a friendship years ago that meant a lot to me, and I found out that this person was completely betraying me behind my back. And while I don't dwell on it every day, it's been harder to just let that go, because there's been times where this person will just contact me and act like, hey, we should just be besties. And it gets on my last nerve. And so there are times when it's easier to do the work and to find that grace-filled, God-filled healing. And then there are other times where it's not so easy for a multitude of reasons.
No, and it does take time. But the good news is there is healing available. And I know that, you know, in my own experience, when people have hurt me, And it comes back to me, you know, for whatever reason, having a bad day or something, you know, reminds me of the situation. You know, I do my best to try to ask God to help me to forgive that person. And even more importantly, in some ways, heal the wounds that are there so that I can receive that grace and blessing and receive that forgiveness as well. And that's really where we find that help. Even the Catechism talks about how, you know, intercession turns hurt into compassion and injury into freedom. And, you know, that's a nice thing to say, but it's hard to do sometimes. In fact, it's hard to do all the time, let's face it. So we are asking you to call today at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you having a hard time getting past the way someone treated you, spoke to you, or maybe even did something that didn't directly affect you, but really made you feel disappointed in them? The offense could be small, like a friend not including you or talking about you behind your back. Or it could be something big, like a past history of abuse or infidelity in marriage. Regardless of the size of the offense or the depth of the hurt you're feeling, the path toward healing is the same. So we want to help you find ways to let God into those hurting parts of yourself and find the grace to heal and let go of the pain and find the freedom that comes from living in His grace. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, what is that and how could it possibly help me heal old hurts? Well, glad you asked. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
You know, it's true. We live in a broken, sinful world, and all of us carry within us hurts from things that people have done to us. Now, for some of us, those hurts relate to a difficult childhood. For others, it has to do with more recent betrayals, disappointments, miscommunications, or injuries committed by spouses, friends, colleagues, family members. But whether the offenses we've carried around are big or small, the theology of the body reminds us that God doesn't just want us to limp along saying, oh, well, I guess I'm always going to feel like this. He wants us to know that His plan is to heal us, and He wants us to confidently embrace that plan for our healing.
You know, in the theology of the body, St. John Paul described what he called eschatological man. He never said it that way, but I like to say it that way because it makes it feel a little less intimidating. But what that phrase means is that it's referring to what we might call the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled vision of ourselves that God sees when He looks at us. You know how you look at your kids, right? And if your kids mess up something, or if your kids are hurting in some way, you don't just see their fault, or you don't just see their wound. You see everything they are and could be. And that's how God looks at us. That's what that eschatological man, that ultimate creation that God is trying to do in us is. And we don't have to become somebody else entirely to be who God wants us to be, because that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled self that we're meant to become already exists in God. And the closer we draw to God, the more those true selves are revealed. You know, healing old hurts begins when we believe that all things are possible with God, that He is the true source of our healing, and that regardless of what we've been through, God is giving us the grace to be everything we were created to be. If we'll only set ourselves to doing the work that cooperating with that grace to heal requires of us. So hopefully, a little inspiration there, as well as a little challenge. And we're asking you to give us a call at 877-573-7825 and let us help you find the grace to let go. Let's bring our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those old hurts that are hard to let go of. We bring to you those situations where someone has let us down or betrayed us or disappointed us in some way. And we ask you to find the grace not to wallow in those things or to pretend they didn't happen, but rather to move through them, responding to your grace so that we can take the lessons you want us to take from those experiences, that we can find the healing that comes in those experiences, and the freedom to move forward in your grace. We ask you, Lord, to bring that healing to our lives and to our hearts so that we can glorify you and join our sufferings to your cross, so that we might also be able to experience the resurrection that comes after the cross. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled The Grace to Let Go. We're talking with you about those times when you have a hard time letting go of past hurts, whether they are big or small. You know, are you having a hard time getting past the way someone has treated you, spoken to you, or maybe even did something that didn't directly affect you, but really made you feel disappointed in them? Whether the offense is big or small, or it's in the ancient past or recent history, we want to help you find ways to let God into those hurting parts of yourself and find the grace to heal and let go of the pain. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, Beth from Houston, Texas is listening to EWTN Radio and called in. She couldn't stay on, but we want to make sure that we address her call. She said her husband was the major breadwinner, but some time ago he asked her to go back to work. Since then, though, he has been spending more money than he should, but also asking her to work harder.
Beth, thank you so much for the question. I know you also told our screener that you feel like you've forgiven him, or that you say that you've forgiven him, but that this problem continues to go on. I want to talk about what forgiveness means and how it relates to this situation. Because, again, we often think that forgiveness means pretending that it's not a problem or not being allowed to hold the person accountable for what they did because somehow that's holding it over their heads. And that's not true at all. St. Augustine said that forgiveness is the surrendering of our natural desire for revenge. Right? So it's when we give up wanting to hurt someone for having hurt us. It doesn't mean, though, pretending that the thing didn't happen or not allowing the person to experience consequences or even setting appropriate boundaries if we need to. You can forgive your husband for, you know, his overspending and kind of saddling you with some of that responsibility. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't set appropriate boundaries there, so which could include anything from, you know, having separate accounts so that he can't overspend on the money that you make, at least, so that, you know, or finding, you know, getting a financial planner that you insist on both working with, so you can develop a healthy spending plan, a budget,
and will hold you both accountable so that you can both take a look at the accounts. Having a weekly or monthly or even daily, if it's a very bad spending situation, meeting with him to say, okay, what did we spend today? What are we spending it on? Are we staying within the budget that the financial planner that we came up with? In doing this, I want to make this very clear. This isn't about you punishing him. I'm going to hold back all our money. This is about calling him on to live a more virtuous life.
Because, I mean, the way you describe this here is he's spending more and more and then saying, you have to work harder to support my habit. And that's grossly disrespectful and deeply offensive to you as a person and to the partnership that marriage is supposed to be. He's using you in some way. And I'm not saying he's waking up in the morning and say, how can I use Beth today? I'm just saying that he's got himself in a place where he's using money to make himself feel better, and it's kind of an addiction, and he's asking you to enable it. And just like with any other addiction, you have the right to set boundaries. You know, if he's on a credit card, for example, that's in your name, it's okay to cancel that. Now, I'm not saying that you want to do any of these things necessarily. I'm giving examples of things that are appropriate to do, even if you've forgiven somebody in this situation. Because forgiveness, again, is just surrendering the desire to hurt someone for having hurt you. but you still are called to work for your husband's ultimate good in this situation. And him spending this way and taking advantage of you is not working for his or your ultimate good. And you, forgiving him, quote unquote, if that means you just kind of keep letting him do what he's doing without setting any boundaries, is not loving him. It's not working for his ultimate good, because he's going to be called to account for his behavior before God. And, you know, at least, at the very least, you can set those boundaries that say, when you go to God, you know, I did my best to call my husband on to be his best. Now, whether he accepts that invitation or not is up to him, but you can set those boundaries that challenge him to be a better man and insulate you from his inappropriate and possibly even sinful behavior. So, Beth, I do hope that those suggestions will help you start thinking differently about what forgiveness means. It does mean... you know, not, you know, going out of your way to hurt him for having hurt you. But it does not mean pretending that what he did was okay, or that you can't have boundaries or even consequences for his behavior, because we have to do whatever works for the ultimate good of that person, and sometimes boundaries and consequences are necessary to do that. If there's more that we can do to support you in this, Beth, I hope that you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com so we can help you find faithful ways to respond to this that, you know, protect the integrity of the marriage, but also protect your dignity as a beloved daughter of God. You can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. And I also encourage you and your husband to check out our book. I totally blanked on the topic of the book.
Well, we'll talk about it when we come back, if you can think of which one you want.
The Healing Your Marriage. How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love.
That's
there it is.
What happens when you have over 20 books. Sometimes you just blank.
How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, as well as CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you so much, Beth, for the question. If there's more we can do for you, I hope you'll reach out to us. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about the grace to let go. Are you having a hard time letting go of past hurts, whether they're big wounds or small wounds? We want to help you find the grace to experience true forgiveness, healing, and freedom. 877-573-7825 is the number. That's 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, when we come back, we'll be talking with Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference at nationalcatholicsingles.com. She'll be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on how to let go. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
The most amazing saints from modern times, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina with the Divine Mercy. This is Steve Ray. We invite you to join us on a pilgrimage to Poland and experience this incredible Catholic country, the land of saints, Catholic culture, gorgeous churches and shrines, and delicious food. Join us next April as we again visit Poland, one of our favorite pilgrimage destinations.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled The Grace to Let Go, as we talk about the struggle we all have in letting go of past hurts, whether those hurts are big or small, ancient or recent. Let us help you find forgiveness, healing, and freedom. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference at nationalcatholicsingles.com. She's an expert on the theology of the body, and she's with us today to talk about insights from the theology of the body that can help us find the grace to let go. Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much, Dr. Greg. Always good to be here with you.
So let's talk about this idea of letting go, though. And we were even talking about this over the break, that, you know, a lot of people believe that letting go means I need to pretend that it doesn't hurt and I can't hold the other person responsible anymore. But that's really not what it means, right?
Oh, no. I mean, I think that it's sort of a double, not double-edged sword, but more like a two-pronged approach we have to take, just because there's that reality of what happened and we have to be able to acknowledge that. And even, you know, sometimes it's so hard to sit in that, in the pain of it or the discomfort of it. And so that can be helpful, just to say, okay, look, this is really difficult, you know, but what is God calling me to through this? What can I learn from this? What, you know, what extra grace are coming out of it? You know, because like what the church says at Easter, right? Oh, happy fault of Adam. And because usually you don't think, well, original sin is a happy thing, right? But, you know, it says he won for us so great a redeemer. And so there's the power of the cross that John Paul II speaks about in the theology of the body, that redeemed man has power because of his cross, and think about what Christ went through that. So I think if we look at that and allow ourselves to, you know, experience the pain and the difficulty, but then, you know, keep moving forward. God doesn't want us to be stuck in that feeling and that discomfort, right? He wants us to be able to reach the freedom of being able to let go, as you mentioned, without discounting, you know, what actually happened. And hopefully there's greater fruit that comes from it, both maybe...
Well, and I want to throw in one other thing here and get your feedback on this. You know, so you know, of course, I mean, and this is an ancient teaching of the church, but St. John Paul really highlighted it in his work, especially through the theology of the body, that in everything we do, you know, we have to be loving to the other person, even the person who offended us. But being loving doesn't mean, you know, necessarily letting them off the hook for something. It means working for their ultimate good, behaving in a way that challenges them to be their best. And sometimes, you know, if the person's already repenting and working to heal the wounds they've caused, that means letting it go and giving them the space to do that work. Other times, it means holding them accountable and even imposing boundaries or consequences if that does challenge them to be their best, if that does allow us to work for our ultimate good. And so part of letting go means saying, I have done all I can do to work for the good of this person and call them to repent. I mean, what do you think about that idea, especially in light of the theology of the body?
I think that's a great way to look at it, because then at least we feel like that we have done our part, that there's not a responsibility on us. Because I think sometimes it is when something's difficult, you know, I realize, oh, it's my responsibility. I need to talk to this person, you know, and explain how this has caused pain to me, or what, you know, what I think needs to change in the relationship. But if we've done our best, then I think that can definitely help. And, you know, with theology of the body, the whole idea is that our vocation is to love, and how do we live out that love? And sometimes it takes on different forms, right? But ultimately it's that we're giving of ourselves in whatever way, and receiving the other person, and, you know, hopefully the forgiveness and repentance and change that can help both of us grow. And sometimes it's a two-way situation too, of course, right? So we're always called to say, hey, what was my part in it? And once I've taken care of that, then it makes it easier for us to move forward in freedom, that we've done the best we can and are continuing to look at that person with love as well.
You know, we were talking about this the other day on the show, the difference between, say, redemptive suffering and what we might call enabling, you know, the suffering that comes from enabling. And the difference, I'm curious what you think about this, but, you know, where redemptive suffering is the suffering that comes from doing the work of healing, that, you know, and that's hard work, you know, whether I'm challenging the other person to repent or forgiving that person for what they've done, or, you know, working to improve myself, that's hard work, but it's redemptive because it calls me and them to be what God is calling us to be, as opposed to, say, enabling or a more codependent suffering approach, which is where I just sort of sit there and suck it up and fester in it because, well, I don't want to do anything to rock the boat. And so we're called, that kind of love that you were just describing calls us to embrace that redemptive suffering, but not to engage in that kind of suffering that just comes with enabling. What do you think?
Oh, no, I totally agree. Sometimes it's easier, you know, to be, say, well, it's me and this person really hurt me and, you know, and kind of do the enabling part. But that's why it's a challenge for both of us, both the person that has hurt us and for us to keep walking forward and taking advantage, you know, not taking advantage of God's power that comes through the cross. That's the way we have to walk forward. Otherwise, we'll stay stuck in the mud puddle.
Amen. You know. Anastasia, I want to thank you for being with us, and I want to thank you for all of your good work promoting the theology of the body, especially to single Catholics, and the work that you do at the National Catholic Singles Conference. If you are a single Catholic, I'd encourage you to go to nationalcatholicsingles.com. They don't just have a wonderful annual conference. They've got a lot of things going on through the course of the year that can help you discover God's plan for your life and for your future as well. So visit nationalcatholicsingles.com. Thanks again, Anastasia. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you so much.
And we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825 on our show titled The Grace to Let Go. Are you having a hard time getting past the way someone's treated you, spoken to you, or maybe even did something that didn't directly affect you but really made you feel disappointed in them? You know, whether the offense is small, like a friend not including you or talking about you behind your back, or something big like past abuse or infidelity, we want to help you find the grace to bring forgiveness, healing, and freedom in your life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your calls in a minute.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We are given many gifts. Everyone is different. And yet when we embrace them, when we accept our gifts and use them as God wants them to be used, His will, not ours, those crosses turn into gifts from which we can learn, grow, and who knows, maybe have an entirely different life than what we planned. Such as the case with me, I never in a million years expected to be in Catholic radio. Never even knew it existed. So the next time you're questioning or struggling, say, okay, God, what can I do with this? What am I supposed to do? Don't bury it. Don't put God in a box and see what He does with that gift, which sometimes comes in the shape of a cross.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Remember the song, You Gotta Have Hope? All you really need is hope? Well, it's not all you need, but it is one of the three theological virtues. The Catholic Catechism tells us that hope helps us desire heaven and eternal life as our happiness. We trust in Jesus' promise while relying not just on our own strengths, but with the assistance extended by grace from the Holy Spirit. Hope keeps discouragement at bay and sustains us in times of abandonment. It preserves us from selfishness by leading us to the happiness that flows from charity. Christian hope unfolds from Jesus' preaching of the Beatitudes, which raises our hope to heaven as the new promised land. The Catechism says hope is expressed and nourished in prayer, especially the Our Father, the summary of everything that hope leads us to desire. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When kids misbehave, it's common for parents to ask how they can stop the bad behavior. Usually the answer is some form of punishment. But punishment isn't a silver bullet. Sure, it might stop misbehavior for now, but it's not very effective in the long term. That's because it doesn't help kids heal the harm they've caused, and it doesn't give them the tools they need to handle things differently the next time. St. John Bosco had a better approach to discipline. He viewed discipline as a teaching opportunity, not a control problem. In his approach, parents coach kids through the process of healing the harm their behavior caused. And next, they help kids learn the skills and strategies they need to do better next time.
St. Bosco's approach is called discipleship discipline because it treats kids as disciples or learners. It also reminds us of the loving way Jesus taught his own disciples. Discipleship discipline frees parents from being referees, constantly imposing penalties. Instead, parents coach kids through the hard work of improving their game. Discipleship discipline recognizes that parents and kids are really on the same team. To learn more about discipleship discipline, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the grace to let go. Are you having a hard time letting go of past hurts? Whether they're big hurts or small hurts, whether they're in the ancient past or in the last couple of weeks, it's sometimes hard to find it in our hearts to forgive. It's even harder to know how to heal ourselves, the relationship. Let's talk it out. Let us help you find the path toward forgiveness, healing, and freedom. 877-573-7825.
Before we talk to our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to our great EWTN radio partner. Holy Family Communications, serving Shenandoah, Virginia, is celebrating 10 years with EWTN.
Congratulations to Lawrence Kapp and everyone at WHFV from your friends here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825 on our show titled The Grace to Let Go as we discuss the challenges we all face in healing from past hurts, forgiving the people that have hurt us, reconciling when possible, or setting boundaries when it's not. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sheila, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Iowa.
Sheila, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Well, I've been out of it for 10 years, but I was in a 30-year, very abusive marriage, alcoholism, lots and lots of abuse, mentally, emotional, physical, and three children who are now 35, 34, and 32. And I had forgiven my ex, not to his face. That was not really kind of a safe thing to do, but I forgave him. I can't forget, obviously, what all went on, but I forgave. And then I was listening to Lisa this morning, and something you said really struck a chord with me. I was with a friend over the weekend, and we were just sharing because we had a similar experience. We were sharing, and she said, "Oh, Sheila, you really need to let that go." It wasn't a mean way of saying it. It wasn't meant to be hurtful. I know that. We love each other. It was just, you need to get over that. You need to let that go. And
yeah, and she means well for you, right? That you'll be happier and healthier if you let it go. But, you know, very, very small words for a very big issue.
And I bet you wish you'd thought of that before, right?
Right?
Yeah, right.
Never occurred to you.
So the reason she told me let it go was because I have this 32-year-old son that I spent a couple of days with, and he treated me very much like his father used to treat me. This apple fell pretty close off the tree, and I was very hurt. And all of that pain came rushing back, all of that pain. And I know he comes from a place of hurt as well, but he's an adult, and I had told him, I took him aside privately and said, you know, your words are hurtful, Kevin, and you can do better than this. He says, well, no, I am my father's son, and I can't undo this. I can't get rid of this, and I don't want, and I said, well, for your future life, you know, with somebody that you might meet and have a marriage with, I want you to have the best that you can have and be the best you can be. And I know you can do this. And he said, well, that won't be happening because I had a vasectomy 2 years ago, which added a whole nother layer of hurt. He's never been married, but he does not. He knows. He's a little bit on the spectrum. Severely ADHD, pretty oppositional, always has been. But he saw in himself something that wasn't redeemable. And so now I feel a responsibility for that, and I don't know how to let that go. I don't know how to let everything that I have tried to put to rest and the dust has settled. Now I'm in a swirl of dust again. I don't know how to let it go.
And Sheila, I know the answer to this, but I need to ask it anyway just to clarify it and clarify it to the others who are listening to this question. Has he ever sought any kind of counseling to help him sort out his past with his parents, with your marriage, and to heal this himself? I'm assuming no, based on how he's doubled down into it?
No, because the only counseling that he's received has been that which was mandated by his psychiatrist in order to evaluate the effectiveness of the medication that he's been taking. So the only counseling that he will admit to me that he's had is just like how to get through the day when the medication maybe is making you drowsy and tired, or it's making you irritable.
Sure.
Those sorts of suggestions have been.
And psychiatrists, of course, don't do counseling per se. You know, they people don't realize this, but even many psychiatrists aren't even trained to do counseling anymore. They prescribe medication and they evaluate medication and they do those kinds of conversations that you were just describing in their monthly med checks, for example. But all right, so let's talk about, you know, you and what you can do with this. So there's a difference between responsibility and blame. And, you know, as parents, of course, we're responsible to help even our adult kids do better if we can. But blame is something different. Blame is when Satan kind of gets in your ear and is saying, you know, Sheila, you really messed this up and it's all your fault. And, you know, you should beat yourself up for this. You can be responsible, and St. John Paul, again, in his book, Love and Responsibility, talks about what it means to be responsible. It means to have the ability to respond in love to a challenging situation. It doesn't mean that I have to sit there and beat myself up about it. It doesn't mean that I wallow in the pain, because that doesn't help me or the other person, right? So what do you do instead? You know, you, first of all, and I'm sure you're doing this already, you bring the situation to prayer, and in a couple of ways. One, you know, Lord, just please help my son begin to figure his life out and be willing to accept the help that he needs to receive to heal the wounds that he has. Help me know how to be the mom he needs me to be. Help me to live the healthiest life I can as a witness and a mentor to him, as a sign of what's possible. And help me know how to bring out the best in him to the degree that it's possible. You know, those prayers in particular, and I'd really love for you to download the podcast afterward to be able to hear that again, because it's a particular way of praying about this. It's not just, Lord, please save my son, which, of course, you should be doing, and God honors that prayer. But the way I'm phrasing that prayer, it opens your heart to what can be done, where you need to set some boundaries for yourself and for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it also kind of puts the focus where it needs to be. So you start there. When your son kind of makes these excuses, or, you know, I'm my father's son, or this is the way I'm going to be, you want to do two things. One, you want to point to the healing that's gone on in your life. You know, son, I suffered your father's abuse for over 30 years, and you need to see the changes that I've been able to make, the work that God has done in me to be able to leave that behind and be a stronger, more effective woman of God. And if there are things that are getting in the way of that witness, then you're going to work to heal those things on your own, too, as a way of modeling that ongoing process of healing in your life.
It sounds like you've done a ton of work already.
Secondly, when you know, in addition to witnessing, you know, from your own example, don't let him get away with the cowardly stuff. I mean, and I would call it out for that. It's like, you know, I know it's terrifying to look at these things, but that's really a cowardly answer, and you deserve better than that.
And what you also deserve better about, Stephen, is that you're holding on to being just like your dad, probably because you think if you're enough like him, he would love and approve of you. That's probably what's behind all of this horrible behavior. He doesn't know how to get daddy to love him. Whether dad's still in his life or whether he's not in his life, there's something in there that is doing this that needs to be healed. And to be able to say to him, if you want to feel lovable, if you want to feel that you have God's love and the love of other people in your life, please, here are some resources for counselors. Go and work through this with somebody, because you're worth a whole lot more than you're giving yourself and other people and relationships in your life.
And of course, you can't make him accept that advice. You can't make him accept, you know, those resources, but you can keep bringing it back up and challenging him on the answers he's giving that are setting him up to fail, and witnessing to the possibility of healing in your life, so that he can see that there is more to life than what he's settling for.
Now, when he treats you badly, or even dealing with the pain of the fact that he just did, I really want you to do what you did, stop the behavior cold and say, I'm not going to be treated this way. But as you're processing it, because it stabs you in the heart yet again, and when you're home and you're processing it, realize that a lot of this is coming from him desperately seeking to somehow be loved by his dad. And he treats you like this knowing that you're working hard to love him, and it doesn't matter as much as the fact that he's a man who is desperately wishing for his dad's approval and love, and that's why he's doing this cycle again, so that you can find a little bit of grace for him in coping with why he would do this to you without taking it as personally.
But returning to you, you know, before I let you go, returning to the question that you kind of posed about what does it mean for me to let go? You know, you can acknowledge the responsibility you have in trying to facilitate his healing, you know, by doing the kinds of things we've talked about. But you also want to resist falling into that place of self-blame, because that's what the enemy wants you to do, so you don't have the energy to do that work for praying for him, of healing your own heart, of doing all the things we talked about. Because the more you end up wallowing in that blame, the less effective you can be and the less receptive you are to what the Holy Spirit might be asking you to do. So if you're struggling to let go of that kind of inner voice that says, this is all your fault, Sheila, you messed up your son and now you have to pay, and those kinds of things that we all hear in our heads.
Especially when we've been in an abusive relationship.
I'm going to suggest that you check out our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, because even though we're talking about more guilt than anxiety, in the book it talks about these desolations and how to combat those thoughts from the enemy that keep us from being able to hear God's voice counseling us on how to respond to those situations. So again, you can learn more about this whole process in Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. Or if you'd like more personalized attention on this, you can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about faithful responses to this challenge. But Sheila, I hope that these suggestions will get you started. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825 on our show titled The Grace to Let Go, as we talk about the struggle we all face in letting go of past hurts, whether those hurts are in the far-off past or more recent past. It's hard to find that path toward forgiveness, healing, and freedom. Let's help you do that today. 877-573-7825. As we head up to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24.
By his wounds you have been healed.
You know, and that verse, we all are familiar with that verse, but it means a couple of different things. So certainly on the most profound level, it means that Christ's suffering on the cross healed us of our sins and restored the ability to enjoy eternal life by healing that wound of original sin. But it also, on a slightly less profound but just as important level, it means that there is no suffering that God cannot transform. You know, when we look at the cross, that is an absurd and offensive and catastrophic level of suffering that God used to bring about amazing things. And that's what we need to be praying through. Not just sort of saying, okay, God, you know, if you want to do that, it'll happen. But by picking up the cross and saying, okay, Lord, I'm going through this. I'm moving through the pain. I'm working on this because I want to cooperate with your grace to see what you can do with me and in me and through me.
We accept the truth of this very short but very sharp and poignant scripture. By his wounds, you have been healed. Not you will be once you, you know, go through all sorts of heck and damnation. And no, you have been healed. We accept that. And we say, okay, Lord, work your healing grace in me and help me to cooperate with it.
It's a little bit like the centurion that says, you know, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It's like, I accept the healing, help the healing that needs to happen. Yeah,
exactly.
With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls about finding the grace to let go of those past hurts. 877-573-7825.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the grace to let go, as we talk about the struggles we all face in overcoming past hurts. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sherry, who's listening to EWTN Radio on Covenant Radio.
Hi, Sherry. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I am having and have had trouble all my life trying to forgive my father for his emotional abuse. And for a while I didn't really care because I didn't know God. It wasn't, a churchgoer or anything. So I thought it was just, I'll just be mad at him forever and who cares, But that's not the case anymore. I am now in RCIA OCIA classes and trying to follow, God's path and everything. And I want to try to get over this, but it's been an ongoing hurt, even from my youth, even into my adult. He just keeps going and going, like it doesn't end.
So Sherry. Tell me what you think. How would you know if you'd had forgiven him? What do you think that would look like to you?
I wouldn't be upset about it anymore. Like, I might want to talk to him, or I guess, I don't know, spend spend
time. Is he alive? Is he? Is he?
He's,
is it,
he's alive.
Is it within your ability? Okay.
No, he lives in Thailand.
I'm sorry, say that again?
He lives in Thailand.
Okay.
So I can't just run over to the house, you know.
Of course, yeah. Has he ever repented of any of this? Is he safer to be around than he used to be?
No, there are times I don't think he's safe to be around, at least not emotionally, but he doesn't believe in God.
Well, people who don't believe in God can still realize that they caused harm and reach out to the people who caused harm and try to, you know, they caused harm too.
But you're saying that he's never
done that. He's gone off to Thailand and he just is absent from your life. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, he doesn't want to be absent. The thing is that my sister thinks that we should just ditch him, basically, because he doesn't. It's a narcissistic kind of relationship, and
I understand.
He doesn't think that he's ever done anything wrong. So
I've got some good news for you. I mean, there's still going to be work here, but you know, forgiving a person does not mean not hurting. It doesn't mean even wanting to be around that person anymore, especially if they're not safe to be around. And in terms of, you know, forget, like the Catechism even says that it's not within our power to forget an offense or not be hurt by it. You know, if something is hurtful, it's hurtful, right? And we're going to feel that. But there are a couple of things we need to do in response to that. We don't just throw up our hands and say, well, I guess this is just the way it has to be. We do the work of healing because God wants to give us that healing in our own life. We look and say, you know, how is this wound affecting my relationships? How is this wound affecting my the choices that I make or the way I live, and how can I work to give that wound to God so that he can heal that, so I can have healthier relationships, so that I can let his love and grace shine out in my life and the choices that I'm making and the way that I'm living.
So I can accept God's love and rejoice in it rather than be hearing my dad's voice in the back of my head drowning out that love of Christ for me.
But and that's actually part of forgiving a person who's hurt us, because a lot of times we tend to hold on to the hurt as a way of kind of bearing witness to the awfulness that they are. You know, I'm going to keep carrying this wound around because I want them to see what they've done. And by working to heal that through God's grace, you know, I am forgiving them, because forgiveness means, again, St. Augustine said, surrendering our desire to hurt someone for having hurt us. It doesn't mean not holding them accountable. It doesn't mean saying, well, I'm going to pretend that they're safe to be around and just be around them. It doesn't mean that we're not going to set appropriate boundaries to keep ourselves safe, and not just keep ourselves safe, but to prevent them from falling into sin. Right? So as Catholics, and you might be learning this as you go through OCIA, you know, we don't just avoid sin, we try to avoid the near occasions of sin. And we don't want to lead anybody else into sin. Right? So if I'm around somebody, you know, if my being around somebody is too difficult for them to resist the temptation of being cruel to me, sometimes the most loving thing I can do is to withdraw from that relationship for their sake, as well as
for their sake. So you're leading them not into temptation. And somebody who is a dyed-in-the-wool narcissist is led into temptation by relationships that they have a presumed closeness with. A spouse, their children, their siblings, because there's this presumed closeness that, oh, I can play on that. They don't even realize they're doing it. I can get what I want out of it. I can use this.
So in terms of how you treat your father and what kind of relationship you can have with him, what I would say is that it's always our responsibility, not necessarily to pretend or gloss over things, but to call the other person to repentance. And the best way for you to do that is to say, Dad, I would love to be around more. I would love to talk to you more. I'd love to have a kind of relationship where it was okay to do that. But until you can repent of these things that you do and show me that you can be safe to be around, then I have to limit our relationship to this. Right? And this might be a text once a week. It might be, you know, not seeing him at all if he's not safe at all. It might be, you know, I don't know. What you look at where you feel safe to be around him, and you limit your relationship to that. And when he complains about it or tries to push those boundaries, you say, well, Dad, have you worked on those things that I told you about? Because I would love to have that closer relationship you're asking for, but I can't do that until you've addressed this. And by doing that, we are not just forgiving that person, we're working for their good. we're actually challenging them to repent and become a healthier person so that God can work in their lives. And we're developing the strength that God wants to see in us so that we can pursue that healing as well. I hope that those suggestions will get you started. If there's more we can do to help facilitate that graceful healing in your life, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you are having a hard time getting past those old hurts, whether they're ancient past or more recent past, we want to help you find that path toward forgiveness, healing, and freedom. Reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Then get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because you know what? With His grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.